Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope Incorporated. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. We're grateful to the Lord that many lives are being changed by the power of His Word. Here's a brief letter from a listener in the African country of Zambia. He writes, I greet you in our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you for the wonderful job you are doing. I like to listen to your program on Radio East Africa. I really appreciate the teaching of the true word. My life has been changed through you. Never give up until the coming of Jesus. Yours in Christ, Edward. Praise God for that testimony from Edward in Zambia. Last week on Hope for Today, we were studying Psalm 1 under the title, How to Live a Godly Life. This text highlights several differences between the godly and the wicked and their response to God's truth. We noted that the first difference between the godly and the wicked is they express a different delight. The godly ones delight in the Lord and His Word. The wicked ones delight in pursuing evil. I close the program by asking you, which group represents your choices? On today's program, we will complete this study, so let's begin by reading the text, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The second difference, then, is expect a different development. The next contrast between the godly and the wicked is found in verses 3 and 4. The godly person, the one who delights in God's law and lives by its commands, is described as a tree planted by the river. He is nourished by the waters of the river. His roots sink deep into that fertile soil, gathering the nutrients that bring stability and growth and fruitfulness. He's not easily swayed by the winds of life because he is anchored deeply in the truth. The psalmist says his fruitfulness is perpetual. In other words, it does not end. His leaves do not wither because there is continual life flowing through his inner being. His delight in the Lord sustains him when all around is drying up from the lack of moisture. And whatever he does moves him toward his goal of being more like the Heavenly Father. This is his reason for living. Does this describe you? The godly person has a favored position because he delights in the Lord. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 23. He said, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode or our dwelling with him. My friend, there is no greater joy than having the assurance that the presence of the Almighty God lives within you. The true and living God, the God of the Bible, is not a God that is angry and needs to be appeased. His anger, his wrath against sin, was satisfied at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. He is a God who loves you so much that he sent his Son his only son, Jesus, to die in your place. He took the punishment for your sin. And now when you by faith accept the sacrifice Jesus made for you, you can be accepted into God's family. You can belong to him in a personal way. And your life will be fruitful and worthwhile. It will count for something. That's the development of righteousness. But what about the wicked? What is their development? Our text says they are like chaff. Chaff. What is chaff? It's the outer husks that cover the kernel of grain. What's it good for? Nothing. It's waste, worthless, blown away by the wind when the grain is winnowed. Dusty, irritating, something to be discarded. That's the description the psalmist uses for the wicked. That's what they have to look forward to. That's the development of delighting in wickedness. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that the chaff will be burnt with fire. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 24. All the pleasure, all the fun, all the excitement, all the thrill of the forbidden, all gone in a moment. No lasting fruit, only destruction. We move now to our final difference. That final difference is accept a different destiny. Look at verses 5 and 6. Oh, the tragedy of foolish choices, of identifying with the wicked for a moment of pleasure. The tragedy of thinking there's safety in numbers. It all comes to nothing at the judgment. And make no mistake, my friend, judgment will come. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We all face death, we will all face judgment. That's the contrast, my friend. The psalmist says, the ungodly shall perish. Not maybe, not perhaps, not if. They shall perish. They will stand condemned before God by their own choices. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. And John the Baptist spoke these words at the baptism of Jesus. He said, "His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into his garner." Now listen, "but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." Eternal punishment. That's what John was talking about. Eternal punishment for the wicked. But the righteous, what about them? Verse 6 says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous." 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, or back and forth, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal toward him." My friend, I pray that you're one of those whose heart is loyal to the Lord. Because the righteous refuse to delight in the way of the wicked, God now delights in them. He knows them as his very own. Because they were grieved by the blasphemy of ungodly men, they now rejoice in the commendation of their Father. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." The righteous are accepted with God because they have chosen to obey his word. They were willing to come to the cross of Christ and voluntarily confess their sin and their need of a Savior. They surrendered the control of their lives to him. He became their master and their Lord. Because they delighted in him through the trials and struggles of life, he will delight in them and give them a home with him in heaven. And they will live and reign with him forever and ever. Oh, what a glorious destiny awaits those who delight in the Lord. But what a stark contrast, my friend. Eternal punishment or eternal glory? And today, you can still choose. If you're living an ungodly life, you can change by the power of God. If you're already a follower of Christ, you can be challenged to draw closer to Him, to delight in Him more fully. That's my desire. That's what I want. I want to learn to delight in Him more completely. Friend, you can choose what you will delight in, the way of the wicked or the way of the Lord. But once you make your choice, your life will take on a development and a destiny that are predetermined. If you choose the way of the ungodly, sorrow and heartache will be the fruit that develops in your life, and destruction will be your end. Or you can delight in God and His Word. You can experience the development of lasting fruit, righteousness, peace, and joy. And you will reach the destiny of the righteous, a glorious eternity in the presence of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the saints of all time will be your reward. My friend, today the choice is yours. It is not a choice to be made lightly, because eternity hangs in the balance. So let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for these clear instructions on how to live a godly life. Lord, I pray for my listening friend who is your child. I pray that he or she will have a renewed delight in you, a new passion to glorify you through a godly life. Bless them, Father, as they recommit themselves to you, even as we pray together. And now, Father, I pray for my listening friend who does not know you in a personal way. I pray they will come to you today, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Help them to understand this decision will change their destiny and the development of their lives. It will also give them a new delight in you. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. My friend, were you blessed or challenged by this teaching? If so, you can have an audio CD or a printed copy of the complete teaching on how to live a godly life. All you need to do is write and request it. Your CD or printed copy will contain my entire teaching on this subject, how to live a godly life. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this program, How to Live a Godly Life. Once again, the quickest way for you to request a copy of this program is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And my email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we begin learning together how to love the truth. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.